You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Friends, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're moving. Thank you that you're working. And we pray, God, that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see, that we would hear what it is that you long to do in our lives. Open these scriptures for us this morning and make them live and breathe in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People say, follow your heart. Yes? Do what feels good. Yes? Some people say, we all worship the same God. Yes? So we should coexist. Some people say, you are going to keep sinning no matter how hard you try, and God will always forgive you. Yes? And the crowd didn't know how to respond today. Yeah, three examples of culture influencing the character of the church. Culture influencing the character of the church. And here's the thing, follow your heart, good sentiment, but sometimes our emotions lie. You notice this? We get anxious about things that really we shouldn't be fearful of, we just are. And I'm not here to tell you how to feel. I mean, I don't get freaked out at snakes, but I'd prefer not to be around them, yes? Yeah, you have to examine, you have to evaluate your emotions. Is this real, or what is it that's going on? If you were to lay out all of the beliefs of all the religions of the world, hopefully what you would see is that they believe or have different truth claims, and those truth claims are in competition with one another. Ergo, we can't all be worshiping the same God. Now, to be sure, can we get along with people? Yeah, we're called to live in peace with our neighbors. We're called to love our neighbors. And if you need a lesson about how to love your neighbor, there's a parable of a Good Samaritan somewhere in the middle of Luke's gospel. You can check that out for yourself this week. Or this notion of, well, you're just going to always sin, so God's always going to forgive you. Are you going to sin? Yes. But should it be okay? No. I mean, should it be the same thing repetitively? Yeah, definitely not. In fact, this is called antinomianism. It existed early on in the church. It existed in the days of Wesley, and it turns grace, the grace that took Jesus, the Son of God, to the cross. He died for it, and it turns it into cheap grace. Hard, yes? Absolutely. These cultural doctrines, they creep into the church, and it was happening in Titus's day too. In fact, let's pick up where the letter left off last week. Chapter 1. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers, and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." A little light reading from Titus today, yes? Yeah, you know, in the book of Acts, we get this repetitive cycle that Paul has. He goes to a town, he evangelizes it, he begins to disciple the people, he raises up leaders, he empowers the leader, and then he leaves. And this happens over and over again. It's how you get Luke and Silas and Timothy and Titus and Priscilla and Aquila, all of these leaders who are part of the church. And the deal was that the church at Crete needed godly leaders for an ungodly kind of character. In fact, this is why Paul says to Titus, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what? Remained into order." What's he after? He's after the gospel. "You might put what remained into order." I need people of character to build up the church, to figure out what's gone wrong, what's deficient, what's lacking, where there's false doctrine, to correct it, reorder it, and to put leaders in there who are going to defend it. Now, I shared with you last week that Crete, tough place, known as liars, evil brutes, lazy, traitors, and mercenaries. Who's signing up for that? Are you ready? Here we go. Let's go. In fact, they even came up with the term to Cretanize. I mean, we're going to Cretanize you. That just doesn't sound good. And what arose over time was a group of leaders who taught false doctrine, who were tearing families apart, saying unless you get a certain kind of special surgery for guys, you can't be a part of the church. All kinds of falsehoods. And it was forming bad character in the people. And so Paul says, here's the deal. I left you in Crete so that you might put what remained into order, might reinstate the gospel and appoint who? Elders, leaders in the church in every town as I directed you. Now we get our English word presbyter or the denomination Presbyterian. Elders are people throughout the scriptures, could be scribes, could be member of the Sanhedrin, but leaders. Put leaders in these churches, powerful men and women of God to lead others and to teach so that the church and its people would be legit followers of Jesus Christ. I want you to realize the laundry list, in case you missed it, of what's required, being beyond above reproach, husband of one wife, children are believers, not arrogant, quick-tempered, drunkard, violent, greedy for gain, hospitable, lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined, must hold firm to the trustworthy word, give instruction, rebuke those who contradict it, and never drive on New Circle Road because it's hard to maintain any of that. Hard-hitting stuff, yes? Absolutely. I hear him saying, remember how good God is, that he's changed your heart, he's forgiven you of your sin, you've become beyond reproach because he's cleansed you from being sinful, and now what he wants you to do is to live into that character that he's placed in you as a gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we were to summarize the whole thing, it's that the leadership of the church should love God, love people, and love what's good. Sound fair? Love God, love people, and love what's good. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are saying this morning, well, this is just for pastors, and you should require this of me. But I don't think this is just for pastors. I think this is for leaders. Where are you a leader? Like, I'm not, yet you're a leader somewhere, I guarantee you. You're a leader in your home. You're a leader in your workplace. You're a leader in your neighborhood, you're a leader in your school, you're a leader amongst your friends. Is this the kind of godly character that exists in your life, where you love God, you love people, and you love what's good? Well, that's hard. And here's the thing, they needed it at Crete because What Paul goes on to tell Titus is, here's the deal. There's all kinds of insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers who are upsetting whole families, teaching for shameful gain, devoting themselves to all kinds of myths, turning away from the myths. Their minds and their consciences are defiled, and then you can't miss it. The last two sentences, they profess to know God, but deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. You thought that you were just going to get this nice, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so kind of teaching today. I appreciate that. Yeah. Leadership matters. Character matters. In fact, the Greeks said that there were three classes of people, Cretans, Cappadocians, and Cilicians, who were detestable folks. I'm not stereotyping, I'm just restating. You might think of it as being fans of certain teams. I'd like to, have we stirred it up now within you? Which teams, Brian? We're not going there this morning. In the spirit of unity. You know, one of their own poets said that Cretans were evil brutes, lazy gluttons, traitors, mercenaries. In fact, a legend arose that there were no wild animals on the island of Crete. You know why? They said the people was all the wild animals that they ever needed. Legitimately, this exists. So we need people, we need godly people of character on Crete, because there's all kinds of crazy myths on Crete, like Zeus was born there, he was buried there. The Greeks, they called them liars, and the Cretan pastors were motivated by greed and saying to people, you got to get special male surgery to be here. It tore apart families, and so Paul told Titus, here's the deal. I need people. I need leaders. God requires leaders in the church to be legit. To love God, to love people, to love what's good. It matters. Legit character matters. And here's the reason, Titus. I need people who are going to hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, to give instruction in sound doctrine, and to rebuke those who contradict it. And if you don't have the character, they're never going to hear what it is that you have to say. Isn't that how it goes? They don't know what you care about until they know that you care about them. I need people of character, Titus. If you love God, if you love others, if you love what's good, if you've been formed by the gospel, if that's the case, then you should rebuke everything that contradicts the gospel. Yes? Let me say that again. If you love God, if you love people, if you love what's good, if you love the gospel, if the gospel's changed you, should you not rebuke everything else that contradicts the gospel?
Yes.
Do you? Now that's hard, because it immediately sets you at odds with culture. I mean, these are hard words, friends. It's a clear call to us today, because here's the struggle. We get called hypocrites on one side, and on the other side, people could say, well, we're just trying to win people over in the midst of a culture war. To be as effective as possible for the work of the kingdom, it requires that we not cop to either. That we have legit character and we legitimately defend the gospel that we believe. It's not one or the other. You know, there was a woman and her child who I pastored years ago. Came to the church the first time. I call it the side eye. They sit, it's always in like the back two rows. And I love you back two row people, okay? So like I'm not after you this morning. That's where I would sit, guaranteed. On a Sunday off, back row, that's all me. Give me the corner spot. Okay? But the side eye folks, right, and they're sitting like this the whole time. you know, and they're just waiting for you to say the thing that makes them mad so they can leave early and go get a donut or do Panera or whatever their thing is. So for, you know, 2 years, sits in the back, side eye, we start to meet. We meet every 3 or 4 weeks for coffee, and she just begins to pour her life out. All the things that have happened, all the struggles she's had with the church, and when she needed the church wasn't there for her, and the church was full of hypocritical people and hypocritical pastors, and I mean, I get it. So we do this for 2 years, every 3 or 4 weeks. And finally, somewhere between months 24 and 30, sit down. It had been a long day for me, evening appointment, never forget this, sit down, and she goes, I'm ready to follow Jesus. And I'm like, what? I go, and I shouldn't have asked the question. I mean, it just kind of came out. You ever had that happen in your life where, you know, I'm not supposed to be asking this, but the words are already out there and you can't grab them? And I'm like, well, what changed for you? And she said, here's the thing. I know you're not perfect, Brian. I said, yeah, tell me about it. And she said, I know the people in the church that you're a part of, they're not perfect either. But I know that you all love God. I know that you all have loved me. And here's the thing. I've learned over this period of time that you kept showing up. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're constantly following your heart, I guarantee you, you won't keep showing up. Because you'll follow whatever the heart wants in the moment, yes? Truth was, at about month 8 or 9, month 6, 7, I didn't know, I mean, do I keep doing this, or is this a bad idea? That just came out, sorry. I think I just ruined the moment, but forgive me. Like, do I keep doing this? I mean, does this really matter? Is it making any kind of difference? Is there any impact? And you know, there's moments where I go, man, I blew it there. Gosh, my character wasn't everything that it was supposed to be. I've got to grow. But if you follow your heart, you end up making decisions that alter the course of your life for the worse. And so people who are looking for hope, they come to the church, and then the church says, well, we just all worship the same God. It doesn't matter anyway. Or sometimes our worship songs, it's like, well, we're going to keep on sinning. He's always going to forgive us. He always does forgive us. But really, shouldn't we want something more? A different kind of character, to be a different kind of people in a world that follows its heart right off the cliff like a lemming? Come on, man. I'm thankful that God loves us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us where we were. I'm still a work in progress. I bet you are too. But it doesn't mean that we don't stop striving for the character of Christ. Legit character has to mean something. And that's what Paul was saying is, here's the deal, Titus. There's people on Crete. There's no wild animals because the people serve the purpose. And if you don't have the character, if the leaders of the church don't have the character, then why would people want the gospel? The same is true in your life. In the places you work, the family that you serve, the schools that you're a part of, the clubs and organizations that you're a part of, it's about character. And then in the moment when you have the opportunity to stand for the gospel, don't tell people to follow their heart, tell them to follow Jesus. And don't say, well, you know, it's kind of all the same. No, your God looks nothing like Jesus. But let me show you who he is. And God wants more for your life. And if that's not your gospel, well, then here's the thing. There's 4 of them. Read them for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. I hear Paul saying to Titus, I need your help. God needs our help because there is a battle for the heart and the soul of the church. And here's the thing, church, man, I love to see what's happening. I mean, take a look around just a minute. For those of you who have been here a couple of years, look at the way that it's growing. This is what healthy churches are supposed to do. But I need your help. And we've done e-blasts and QR codes and sermons and all kinds of stuff. But here's the deal. I need your help. I love that you love your Sunday school class. I love that you love your small group. But I need your help. We have children who need a Sunday school teacher. We don't have enough groups to support the growth. Do you have to be a Bible scholar? No, you don't. Can you lead a discussion? Has God given you that gift? We need people who will greet others as they walk in. Are you friendly? Are you the person during greeting time who goes, "This is my favorite"? We're starting a new ministry for special friends. Folks who are special friends of the church, who have special needs in the church, we're looking for people during the 9:30 hour to hang out with some special friends. Is that you? Do you have that kind of training? Do you have that kind of wiring? I would love to talk to you. I need your help. Just like Paul needed Titus's help. Just like God requires all of our help. And we live in a Cretan culture, friends, of a world of people dying without Christ. And just so you don't miss it, the church, it is not a fort, it is not a clubhouse, it is not a cruise ship. If you want the character of Christ, then today lay down your sins. And if you've realized there's a battle for the heart and soul of this church and you want to get involved, then man, send me an email, a call, a smoke signal. I don't care what it is. It's time for you to get in the game. You should have some kind of ministry. And the last word is this. If you think at the end of the day, the point of today is for you to just leave this place the same person, you can follow your heart. But let me tell you this, your heart's in the wrong place. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, for these hard-hitting words to Titus, to us. And God, we want you to change us from the inside out. We thank you that you're a God who loves us where we're at, and that's where the cross meets us. Mercy and grace brings forgiveness for every sin that there ever was. And we're grateful for that grace. And we're also grateful for your Spirit, whom you give to us. And that Spirit loves us where we're at, and yet too much to leave us in that place. God, you want to change us from the inside out to give us godly character, to develop us, to give us spiritual gifts, to use those gifts for the life of the church and the life of the world. And so God, our prayer today is simple. Start something new in us. Change our character, change our lives, change this world. And may the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.